If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
If only the good die young, Chris. Americans are getting better because we're dying.
Are we dying younger?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
U.S. life expectancy dipped by about a month last year.
A month?
From 2014 to 78.8 years. This according to a report from the National Center for Health Statistics. And our life expectancy is little changed over 4 years, which means an inauspicious trend could be in the works.
You mean we're going to start dying younger?
Yep.
Oh.
With 4 years, you're starting to see some indication of something a little more ominous, says Jay Oshansky, a University of Illinois Chicago public health researcher.
Yeah.
Made those remarks to the Associated Press. Gender matters. For males, life expectancy fell to 76.3 years from 76.5. For women, life expectancy decreased to 81.2 years, down a tenth of a year from the previous year.
Bottom line here is if you've been putting off doing something, start it.
Yeah, you're never going to get to Hawaii if you don't leave now.
Yeah.
The culprits.
Same with Europe.
Yeah. You ready for this?
Okay.
Why we're dying? The culprits for our declining years are increases in mortality from heart disease, chronic lower respiratory diseases, unintentional injuries, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, kidney disease, and suicide.
Okay, so basically you're telling me that everything we've done over the past several years to help fight those things hasn't really made a dent in them.
Yeah, not surprisingly, that group plus cancer and Alzheimer's makes up the top 10 causes in U.S. deaths. Now, here's my theory on that. Life expectancy has been going up, 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 up for decades, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The older you get, the bigger your chance of catching cancer. That's why there are more deaths from cancer. Plus, your organs wear out after decades of use, right?
I guess that makes sense.
I mean, you can take care of yourself to a certain extent, but we all know that Gus Johnson, that perfect athlete who gets brain cancer and dies
And he
at 35 or whatever.
This was a guy who could leap higher than anybody I've ever seen.
Tremendous athlete. And I used to know Gus, and he did smoke. But still, I mean, if you were looking for a model of health,
you'd think Gus Johnson would be
right in there.
You bet.
And Jim Fix.
NBA Hall of Famer.
Jim Fix, the guy who wrote all those running books.
Well, he wrote the... what was it, the Complete Runner's Handbook or something like that?
Yep. When I was in the 70s, Jim Fix, F-I-X-X, was the bomb.
Now, to be fair...
And then
running. Yeah, he died while he was out jogging.
Yeah.
Jim Fix didn't start running until he was in his 40s.
True.
And he did so because he was overweight and had been smoking for 20 years.
Yeah.
So he quit smoking, he started trying to lose weight, and he started jogging. And
He became a serious runner.
He thought it was fantastic. Now, chances are he would have died right then had he not started jogging, but he lasted another 15 years maybe.
Yeah, that's true. So,
Or it killed him. I don't know which.
Yeah. Heart disease and cancer are the runaway top killers. The death rate from heart disease increased 1%, which is a lot, I guess. The death rate from cancer actually fell, though, 2.7%.
Yeah.
In most of the years since World War II, life expectancy in the U.S. has inched up thanks to, as we've said, medical advances, public health campaigns, better nutrition, better education.
And interestingly, the people who would be about 76, 78 years old
Thank
are
you
the
much.
Ones well, are the ones that were born just before World War II.
Yeah, exactly. Last year, it slipped, rare for a year that did not include a major disease outbreak. Other one-year declines occurred in 93. That year, though, the nation was in the throes of the AIDS epidemic. And in 1980, the result of an especially nasty flu season in which a lot of people died from the flu.
Hmm.
People don't think about it, but what was it, in the 30s when they had that big flu epidemic and like
there was
6 million people worldwide died?
There was one around the time of World War One in the late teens, yeah. You know, 1915 to about 1919. There were guys that were in the U.S. Army that never ended up going overseas because they had the flu and they died here.
Yeah, and some people who went overseas contracted the disease, the different strain, and brought it back home. Spread it out.
Start planning ahead now. Snow will be falling soon. A winter weather advisory in effect. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 850. Talking about living longer.
Ding, fries are done.
Yeah. I used to know the words to that, but I don't know.
I work at Burger King making flame whoppers. I wear a paper hat.
That's it.
Would you like an apple pie with that?
Okay.
Yeah, that's enough for now.
Yeah. The latest life expectancy numbers, which is what we're talking about today, if you didn't hear the start of the program, life expectancy has gone down for the first time in a long while.
When I heard that, I nearly died.
Since the AIDS epidemic in 93, first time. It's gone down. Latest numbers mean somebody born in the USA in 2015 expected to live an average of 78.8 years. Now, those who turned 65 in 2015 had brighter prospects and were expected to live another 19.4 years, which is
now
84 something.
I have read what the nutritionists say.
Yeah.
And the nutritionists are blaming a whole lot of things just simply on processed food of almost any kind.
Yeah.
They said people who spent half their life not eating processed food have a better chance of living, you know, a long time than people who have been raised on processed food.
Twinkies are good, though, right?
Well, they are.
Huh?
See, and that's part of the problem.
That white stuff in cream-filled cupcakes, yeah. That's good for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've always said the best diet is simply, if you're enjoying something, spit it out.
Potato chips are vegetables, right?
Sure.
Huh?
No, ketchup is.
Ketchup.
We found that out during, remember that? We found that out during the Reagan administration. They classified, for school lunches, they classified ketchup as a vegetable.
As a vegetable. All it is
Cause it's,
salt.
Because it's got
red salt.
Well, it has tomatoes, too. And that was,
no, it doesn't.
And oddly enough, tomatoes aren't a vegetable.
Food coloring.
They're technically a fruit.
They are.
It had tomato flavor.
Yeah. The big in the big picture, the news isn't all bad. I told you about the babies, et cetera.
Yeah.
And when someone lives to be my age, actually the prospects for living longer are better because a lot of people are dead before.
I mean, that's old as I it's do. Like my favorite logical sentence of all time. Is that I figure if I get to the age of 100, I'm good from there because so few people die over the age of 100.
Yeah, yeah. The United States.
What?
What?
That makes no sense.
I know it. You going to say anything else?
No.
The United States ranks below dozens of other high-income countries in life expectancy, according to the World Bank.
Yeah.
Really? It's highest in Japan.
And you can't believe the World Bank.
Japanese people live nearly 84 years. Maybe it just seems like that. No. Japan is the bomb. Because nobody's fat there. Well, that's not
really?
True anymore.
What about sumo wrestlers?
Point taken. I wonder what the life expectancy of a sumo wrestler is.
Doesn't matter. They're awesome.
As long as they don't fall on
definitely
you.
Awesome sized.
For the record, the federal report is based primarily on 2015 death certificates. How would you like to have that job?
reading death certificates.
Hi, I'm Chris Walton from the World Bank. I'd like to see everybody that died in Idaho.
Hello, I'd like to see your death certificates.
Wear a big cowl.
How old are you?
Bring out your dad.
Yeah, something like that. Bring out your dad.
A big cowl and one of those double-bladed axes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a scythe. I guess it's a scythe.
You look like a cross between, you know, Thor and Batman.
There were more than 2.7 million deaths in 2015, 86,212 more than the previous year, and a 1.2% age-adjusted increase in deaths, the first significant increase since 1999.
Lack of activity,
yeah,
too,
think that's big.
I think is starting to hurt society as a whole. But it's not necessarily the fault of younger people. Now, every generation thinks the generation that comes after them is slightly lazier,
yes,
or sometimes a whole lot lazier. And yet, everything that's ever been invented has been invented to make life easier.
Yeah, it's kind of what we do.
Refrigerators, so we don't have to go out and haul our own ice.
I remember, so old.
Ovens, man, so we don't have to go out and chop our own wood.
I remember the Iceman.
Yeah.
Coming to the house.
The Iceman cometh.
You put a little card, you had a card that had 25, 50, 75, or 100 on it.
Yeah.
Which was how much ice you wanted. So we usually, I think, got 25, and you'd put it up where the freezer is now because there were no freezers. It's where you kept the ice.
Yeah, it was the ice box.
And then they kept the ice box cold, and then water dripped, and it was, terrible. Terrible thing.
Yeah. Well, it has been improved again.
Yeah, it has been. And okay, so you don't have to do that. Yeah. You didn't anyway, because somebody brought
it. You don't have to go out and shoot your own food and then prepare it from scratch because, you go over to the frozen food section at the grocery store and get something you can microwave in a minute and a half.
I'd be dead by now because I've eaten my cooking. I went out and shot these potato chips.
Yeah. Just go ahead and
shot this peanut butter.
Pull them out of that hole in the side of the bag. Yeah, that's good. Okay, that's good.
8:56, we're going to take a news break and maybe get serious when we come back. Or maybe not.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
A little bit later on this hour, we're going to talk about sanctuary cities. Are they legal or are they not? Seems to be some question there.
I'm guessing they're not.
Yeah. First of all, let's go to the safest cars. After years in which automakers had to add high-tech features to get top ratings in its survey, the insurance industry's safety arm is focusing on what many drivers will consider one of the lower-tech aspects of their cars, headlights. What doesn't work on your truck?
Right now? That would be the headlights.
Headlights, yeah. Currently
not driving it.
During the nighttime hours.
Well, ever, really.
The Insurance Institute.
The blinkers don't work either. So
oh, really?
Unless you want to go just completely straight from the house to, the end of the block and back. That's pretty much
all. To the ocean.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, eventually.
To the sea.
The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety said today it had stiffened the criteria for its highest safety honors. The top safety pick plus label toughening standards for headlight performance. So only 38 cars out of the hundreds in the 2017 model year have achieved the top score.
Oh.
It's down from 79. Last year, it cut in half.
What do you have to do, light up the highway?
I don't know. I hate those purple ones. I tell you, there's two things in the headlights I don't like. I don't like those purple ones because they're weird.
I don't think I've seen those.
You haven't?
No.
You don't go out at night, do you?
I don't go out ever.
Yeah. Okay. And then the jacked up pickup that pulls up behind you.
Mm-hmm.
See, you drive a pickup, so you don't have to worry about it. People who don't drive pickups.
Yeah, but with high, it seems like your high beams are always on. When my lights were working, You know, and people coming my direction would flash their lights at me because they thought my high beams were on. No, it's just a truck. It's up a little bit high, and it's just normal.
Sometimes you get one of those guys behind you, and those lights will go off your mirrors into your face, and it, you know,
you feel like you're in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my bitch. Interestingly, some luxury vehicles come with fancy headlights that shift with the curvature of the road in an effort to provide better illumination, but they don't always work better than the plain old-fashioned kind. Mm. Many headlights are failing to provide adequate nighttime visibility, or they cause too much glare. See the highest-rated cars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have had that. I've driven cars that had poor headlights.
Yeah. Me too.
And it was like, you know, if you were driving on the freeway and it was after dark, the biggest advantage you had is that you would be able to see for a split second something before you hit it.
Yeah. Hey, boom. Small cars, the Chevrolet Volt, that's an electric one.
Mm-hmm.
Hyundai Elantra, sedan only. Mazda 3, my daughter bought one of those. Toyota Corolla, Toyota Prius, built after August. Mid-sized cars. Honda Accord, Mazda 6, Nissan Altima, Nissan Maxima. Sounds like you're a Catholic praying. Altima, Maxima.
Christatistiae.
Amen.
Okay.
Subaru Legacy, Subaru Outback, Toyota Camry, Toyota Prius, and Volkswagen Jetta. Mid-size luxury cars, Audi A4, that's yours. Lexus ES350, that's mine. Volvo S360 and the Volvo V60. So you got, they're all luxury. Mm-hmm. Well, because that's why it says luxury.
Paul. Yeah.
Large luxury cars, the Genesis C80 and G90 and the Lexus RC.
The Genesis?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's Hyundai. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Small SUVs, Mazda CX-3, Mitsubishi Outlander, Nissan Rogue, Subaru Forester, built after October, and the Toyota RAV4. Mid-size SUVs, Honda Pilot, Hyundai Santa Fe, built after March. Mid-size luxury SUVs, there's too many of these.
Does it say anything about Dodge Dakotas built in 2002?
No.
Oh.
But here's only one pickup made it. The Honda Ridgeline. That's it. One.
So pretty much all the, you know, and I know a lot of these are actually made in America, but the Japanese companies are the ones who have developed the cool headlights.
The Japanese surnames.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. Good catch by you. All right.
Well, I just kept waiting for Ford, and I never heard it.
No. Ford, Chevy.
Chrysler.
Chrysler. You're right. Nothing.
Dodge. According to Chevy guys, nothing on a Ford works.
F-O-R-D, fix or repair daily. Know what I mean?
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. So only in the small cars, the Chevy Volt. That's it. I don't see another one in here. Small S, no. Chevy Volt's the only one.
Hmm.
Couple of Mercedes. Oh, here's a Chrysler Pacifica. Minivan. That's the minivan.
Okay, minivan.
Built after August of this year.
All right.
It's 9:13. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the cities that basically are sanctuary cities. Are they legal? What can be done about them?
They have declared themselves sanctuary cities.
Yes, they have. Sanctuary! So we'll see how that works. 9:13.
We said we wanted to start off with the sound of a cannon. That's not what we meant.
We were thinking Freddy
Cannon. Yeah, more of an 1812 overture kind of thing, but this is fine.
For those of you falling asleep on the highway this morning,
pull over.
We loved you. All right, it's 9:19. Last week.
Don't contribute it to these terrible dropping life expectancy
numbers.
That's
a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Just not morning drive song.
It's Baroque.
Yeah. What? No, I got about $4 on it.
Not me.
Last week, President-elect Donald Trump reemphasized the approach he'll take on enforcing the nation's immigration laws, which is much different from the manner of enforcement utilized by President Barack Obama, which, did he enforce immigration?
Well, he did, for the most part.
Yeah.
It's not 100% enforcement. You know, because the feds have told state police that they can't enforce it. They've told local police that they can't enforce it, and, you know, county sheriffs and whatnot. They said, don't worry, we'll take care of it, and then they don't take care of it.
Yeah.
However,
it's kind of what I meant.
As we have pointed out in the past 8 years, Barack Obama's administration has deported more people than any other president. However, a lot of that has to do with the fact that there are just more here. So.
Yeah.
Borders might be a tad porous.
Yeah. President Obama declined to deport the 5 million undocumented immigrants in the United States who are parents of children born here.
Yeah.
It's the, what do they call it, the dream children. Children who, by virtue of birth, are American citizens. Trump has made known his intention to deport all undocumented people, regardless of how they got here. Irrespective of family relationships, starting with those who have committed crimes. Good place to start. In response to Trump's stated intentions, many cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco.
Most famously San Francisco.
Most famously, yes, and then close behind Los Angeles, have offered sanctuary to those whose presence has been jeopardized by the president-elect's plan.
Well, and this is an odd thing, okay? That this says, we know the federal government is planning to enforce these laws that you have broken.
Right.
But if you come to our city, we won't let them do it.
Yep.
As if we have a choice.
Yeah. So under the Constitution, the president is the chief federal law enforcement officer in the land, though the president's job is to enforce all federal laws. As a practical matter, the federal government simply lacks the resources to do that. As well, the president is vested with what is known as prosecutorial discretion, which enables him to place priorities on the enforcement of certain federal laws and put the enforcement of others basically on the back burner. So we're going to enforce this one.
Yeah.
This one, even though it's a law.
Yeah. And why is that?
We're not going to
Okay, and here's the deal, too. I know we don't necessarily have the funds at our disposal to take care of the problem all at once. But, you know, let's say a traffic cop or a fisherman, what do they have in common? They don't try to catch everybody at once, just one at a time.
Yeah, very true. Over time, with more than 4,000 criminal laws in the United States code, Congress and the courts have simply deferred to the president and permitted him to enforce what he wants and to not enforce what he doesn't want until now. Earlier this year, two federal courts enjoined President Obama and the Supreme Court in a tie vote declined to interfere with those injunctions from establishing a formal program whereby undocumented people who are the parents of natural-born citizens may lawfully remain here. It's one thing the courts ruled for the president to prioritize federal law enforcement. It's quite another for him to attempt to rewrite the laws and put them at odds with what Congress has written. It is one thing for the president, for humanitarian reasons or because of a lack of resources, as you mentioned, to look the other way in the face of unenforced federal law.
Well, they act like one is better than the other.
Right. It's another thing for him to claim that by doing so, he may constitutionally change federal laws. This story on Fox News and Andrew Napoliano, he's a judge, I guess, former judge, lawyer. Trump brilliantly seized upon this and the electorate's, these are his words, and the electorate's general below-the-radar screen disenchantment with it during his successful presidential campaign. He promised to deport all 13 million undocumented immigrants currently in the United States, though he later reduced that promise so as to cover only the 2 million among them who have been convicted in the United States of violating state or federal laws,
right.
Even though if they're here illegally,
they've all
broken the law.
Yeah, apparently they haven't been convicted of it yet, though.
True. Enter the sanctuary cities. Those are places where there are large immigrant populations.
Mm-hmm, and that's the reason they're doing it.
Yeah, that's why they have large immigrant populations, among which many are undocumented. Yet there is apparently not a little public sentiment.
Yeah, and that's the deal. I mean, if you're running for office in L.A. or San Francisco or New York,
yeah,
the fact is, if the undocumented people don't vote for you, you might not get elected.
That's true. That's true. Trump has argued these cities are required to comply with federal law by actively assisting the feds, or at least not aggressively resisting them. And it's... Yeah. It's bordered on that in some places. KBOI rewards code. I forgot to mention this earlier. And the rewards code is SNOW. S-N-O-W. Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter SNOW and earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Are state and local governments required to help the feds? No, they are not. So the sanctuary cities, not a legal term, but it's been applied by those in government and the media to describe municipalities
that offer expanded service. Is there still an FBI office in San Francisco?
Yep.
Yes, there is. Is there an INS office? Yes, there is. Are they allowed to, you know, are they allowed to enforce the law? I would say that they still are.
They're still allowed to, but they get no cooperation.
Right.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Oh, what? Oh, the alarm went off. We're just flipping grief to our producer who likes slow stuff.
Just like me.
Apparently, wait
a minute.
All right, talking about sanctuary cities, are they legal? Well, they say that, you know, we call ourselves sanctuary cities, but it's not a legal term. It's been applied by those in government and the media to describe municipalities that offer expanded social services to the undocumented and declined to help the feds find him.
Well, they picked sanctuary because freebie didn't sound like such a good word.
Well, yeah. But see, the thing is, they declined to help the feds find him, and they know where they are, mm-hmm. who they are, how long they've been there, etc. That includes the case of Chicago's offering undocumented immigrants money
to vote
for legal fees.
Sorry, I for a minute there, I thought it was
jumped
last month.
Jumped the gun there.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Money for legal fees to resist federal deportation is unwise. Now, if you were a taxpayer in Chicago, Chris.
Well, I'm one here.
Okay. Would you like your city tax money to go to pay for legal defense for undocumented immigrants so they wouldn't be deported? Would you like that?
Doubtful.
Okay.
I prefer my money to go to my own defense.
Yeah. As unwise as these expenditures may be by cities, and all these cities are essentially bankrupt and rely on federal largesse in order to remain in the black, they are not unlawful. Cities and towns are free to expand the availability of social services however they please.
So in the bylaws of these cities, there's nothing that says you have to be responsible with money?
Responsible with money or...
Just curious.
Or go along with federal laws or whatever.
Seems like it would be a good idea.
Yeah. It's kind of a local political climate
deal. Exactly.
That's it. Enter the Supreme Court. It has required the states... and thus the municipalities located in them to make social services available to everyone resident within those states. irrespective of citizenry or lawful or unlawful immigration status.
Resident just means you're there.
Yeah. This is so because the constitutional command to the states of equal protection applies to all persons, not just to citizens. So the states and municipalities may not deny basic social services to anyone based on nationality or immigration status.
However, they may deny you those services if they think you have too much money.
Strange but true.
Well, I mean, serious. I mean,
no, you're right.
It says right there, you can't deny these social services to anyone. However, if you don't qualify because, you know, you have money. Done, you know, everything you're supposed to and, been responsible and whatnot, then, you're out of luck.
Yeah, because you're busy paying for the other stuff.
But by gosh, just fall out of the sky into San Francisco and you'll be fantastic.
Yeah. The High Court, Supreme Court, has also prohibited the federal government from commandeering the states by forcing them to work for the feds at their own expense by actively enforcing federal law. They can't do that. As Ronald Reagan...
So, like, Eisenhower can't... Eisenhower used to do this. He used to take the National Guard from some state and take over and have them go in and work on behalf of the feds. And apparently you can't do that anymore?
Not anymore. As Ronald Reagan reminded us in his first inaugural address, the states formed the federal government, not the other way around. They did so by ceding 16 discrete powers to the federal government and retained to themselves all of the powers not ceded.
16.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people think it should be 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like roads and defense.
Yep. If the constitutional truism were not recognized or enforced by the courts, the federal government could effectively eradicate the sovereignty of the states or even bankrupt them by forcing them to spend their tax dollars enforcing federal law or paying for federal programs. But this constitutional truism is recognized and is enforced, so the federal government can't do that.
With apparently very little worry that, said citizens will one day rise up and slay them.
Yeah. Okay, now the Trump dilemma. He must follow the Constitution, or the courts will enjoin him, as they have his predecessor. He cannot use his stick to bend the governments of sanctuary cities to his will, but he cannot use it. But he can use a carrot, so he can't whip them into it.
But he can coax them. But he can bribe them. Apparently,
yeah. He can ask Congress.
Can't extort them, but you can bribe them.
Yeah, he can ask Congress for legislative grants of funds to cities conditioned upon their compliance with certain federal immigration laws. All of this is part of our constitutional republic. By dividing powers between the feds and the states, and by separating federal powers among the president, Congress, and the courts, our system intentionally makes the exercise of governmental power cumbersome by diffusing it. And since government is essentially the negation of freedom, the diffusion of governmental powers maximizes personal liberty. This opinion by Andrew Napolitano, former judge of the Supreme Court of New Jersey and the senior judicial analyst at Fox News Channel.
And, guest host for Rush.
Yeah, sometimes. But... interesting stuff. We'll be back with your phone calls. It's 9:44.
A winter weather advisory is in effect today, and we're waiting for the snow to fall. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul J. and Chris.
All right, we are back. A little more up-tempo here. All right, KBOI News Time, 9:48. We've been talking about sanctuary cities over the last half hour. So let's go to the phone, start off with Luther in Chalice. Luther, good morning.
Well, good morning. Yeah, -5.
Nice.
Last night. And, listening to all this talk about immigration, when I was a kid, the feds took our ranch and rented it back to us. And we were able to sit and look at the land from another place, and we could see the campfires that the wetbacks would make on their way to the big valley. Okay, now in the morning you would go and you wouldn't see anything left over. They cleaned up their camp. They were illegal, and they did a great job of cleaning up their camp. Now, human history is made up of only three things, and that is war, intrigue, and, migration. And everybody in this country came from some other place, and I'd like to see Mr. Trump show that he can use a shovel or that he can pick grapes. And you know what? He's never worked a day in his life. Not like that. Go get him, Broncos.
Thanks. I don't know. Has Trump ever worked in physical labor? Probably not.
Well, I mean, his father had money when he was a kid.
Yeah,
He has had jobs and has worked, obviously.
Yes.
And pretty much any job can be considered hard work based upon the amount of effort you give to it, but not everything taxes your body physically.
True. Let's go to Pro-Life in Letha. Pro-Life.
Yeah, I suppose Trump did dig a hole one time, you know, when he was in military school and they told him to dig a hole, but...
Maybe so.
Well, anyway, the Supreme Court does not make the law, and... So all of these rulings can just be swept aside if Congress and the president decide we're going to do something about sanctuary cities. And that's what needs to happen. Now, I don't know. I think that can happen. And
we already have laws that specifically say what they're doing is illegal, but they're ruled unenforceable. So if we make new laws, they'll probably be ruled unenforceable as well.
Yeah, but when a judge knows that the law says something, and then he says you don't have to follow this, that judge needs to be impeached. That's what I'm saying. Congress needs to remove that judge. And they haven't done it. They haven't disciplined the judiciary forever. And so that's why we're in this big mess. People believe that the final decision is made by the Supreme Court, and that's baloney. The final decisions are made by Congress, and they have the right to remove anybody from the executive branch or the judicial branch, but they don't have the courage to live up to their own responsibility according to the Constitution.
All right, good stuff. Thanks. Basically speaking against states' rights here, right? Or not? I missed something there?
I'm not sure. It would very much surprise me if he were against states' rights.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Yeah. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. You know, there's a lot of hidden costs to these sanctuary cities, and a lot of that comes back to the taxpayers, the property taxpayers.
Yeah, yeah. We read the cities, basically, these municipalities are funding all of this.
Yeah, and one of those is, I drive around a lot in this town doing my work, and I see a lot of these buses going around. And I think a lot of the reason they keep the buses funded at our property tax expense of, I don't know, almost $20 million a year, last I heard. I don't know what it is this year. I haven't checked. But is to provide basically free transportation for them. Everything they get is free because we fund them to come here. And then we take care of them. And it's just, it to me, it violates the American promise of building a better life. You know, the American dream includes the provision of working to get to a point in life where you have, you can live out your last few years of your life, in your own home and just living the dream, as we say. And I'm not sure that this dream is going to be alive after too long. You know, you keep beating a dead horse, it's going to die.
Okay. Not sure. It's already dead. How's he going to die if you keep eating? One thing about the buses, I know people who take the bus. Chris and I, we don't have a shot because of our hours.
Yeah, we drive at 4 o'clock in the morning, yeah, and there's no bus.
No bus, and there shouldn't be a bus just for the two of us. But a lot of people don't have money, can't afford cars.
Yeah.
They need the bus. So I agree with that. Do I think it could be better? Yeah. Do I think it's necessary? Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Instant message from Roy of Boise, who says, an important reminder that Obama's proclaiming success for more deportations than any other administration is based on counting the same person that's being turned back across the border multiple times and counting each time. If one is turned back 3 times in a day, he or she's counted as 3 deportations. This is artificially inflating the numbers of deportations to look tougher on illegal immigration.
Everybody does that. Everybody does that. It's a one-on-one thing. You all count the people you deport. I mean, if they come back again, change their name, whatever, it's still
well. And unless you've indigenous. Got full cooperation of another country, you can't stop people from coming back.
And we don't. WON News Time 9:55. Something to think about. With Mike Rogers coming up next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ. Where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at BoiseChurch.org. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
A typed version of the speech said, a date which will live in world history. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt changed it to say, a date which will live in infamy. 75 years ago yesterday, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor thrust the United States into World War II. 2,400 Americans were killed, 1,200 were wounded in the sneak attack. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will be the first Japanese head of state to visit Pearl Harbor when he travels there later this month with President Obama. Also paying a visit will be the oldest living Pearl Harbor veteran, 104-year-old Ray Chavez. These visits are important as the number of living Pearl Harbor veterans rapidly dwindles. It is vital that we never forget what happens when the United States lets our guard down or lets imperial power grow and menace in the world unchecked. The siren song of isolationism gets loud every few years, but Pearl Harbor helps remind us that we cannot hide from the world. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.